The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed on this program are not the views of 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozell Live by Dr. Tom Rozell, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Dr. Tom Rozell Live, right now. On 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozell Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozell, live in studio, waiting to take your calls on anything you'd like to talk about. We have a very special guest today and a very special program, because we want to make sure that you have every opportunity to optimize your life. Remember that in anything that we look at structural, chemical, emotional pathways. And when it comes to looking at that triad that can cause anything, whether it's a headache or a heart attack or low back pain or you just don't feel good, you have to take each one of them and look how they interact and interplay between each other. But we're going to kind of isolate one of the sides today and look at it very specifically, what we're talking about. We're talking about the biochemical side of the triad, the things that go into your body from the outside, things you eat you shouldn't eat, things that you need more of, you don't get enough of, anything that, you know, your influence, electromagnetics and so forth. But who better than the boss of me and the boss of the office when it comes to functional medical nutrition, but Sue. Hi, Sue.
Hi.
See how I introduce you? I mean, it's, you know, it buys me a lot of credit.
It gives you 2 points right off the bat.
It does. It's called mea culpa, right? You know, we're going to have some fun today talking about this nutritional piece. And, you know, we deal with the biochemical side with every patient that walks in the office, because whether they have a swollen knee or they have a heart problem, there is the chemistry that's influenced one way or the other. But I want to get into foods, and I want to talk about why people who even think that they're eating well really are not eating well. And over a period of time, it breaks the system down. It destroys that foundation that allows them to repair virtually anything else in their body. Without that, nothing works.
Right. And we spend a lot of time talking about the foods people should eat, but we don't quite give as much play to the things they need to be aware of and watch out for. And those are the additives. Those are the things that make our packaged processed foods addictive, things that you bet you can't eat one. There's a reason you can't eat one, because there's chemicals added to that that is truly an addictive form. And they hire very expensive biochemists to come up with these combinations to get you to that point.
So you're talking, this is on purpose.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, and even if you speak with these companies, they will say, yes, we purposely want you to eat our product.
You know, it's an interesting situation, because years ago, you and I both used this analogy. When this country was first born, if you will, came about, sugar was like a condiment, and it was under lock and key.
Sure.
And people consumed, on an average, about 14 pounds of sugar per year.
Not even. Five.
And today, all these years later,
150, 200
per person.
Per person.
And I don't eat a whole lot of it,
mm-mm,
and you don't touch it, so who has our share?
Exactly.
And that's why we're seeing a society that's overfat. And
that's
one of the reasons. That's one of the reasons. Yeah. There's a lot of other things going on. But we've got a crisis here.
Well, and the thing is, if you just take and look at sugars, there are multiple names for sugar, and it is in multiple forms in any food that comes in a box, a bag, or a package of some sort. They do that on purpose again. If they put just sugar down on those labels, it'd be the first or second ingredient. And then they know people are going to be smart enough to say, okay, I don't want to eat that because it's too much sugar. So what they do is they put 4, 5, or 6 different forms of sugar in, and they do a ranking it down further into the ingredient label so people don't think they're getting as much. Now, the new ingredient labels are now saying how much added sugar is on there. So they're tallying up all of the different forms of sugars that are going into these products. So it helps this consumer know a little bit more about how much they're actually getting. But there's a lot of sugar in everything. Salt has sugar in it.
Salt has sugar in
it. Table salt has sugar in it.
So
it's called dextrose.
so that you go to the store and you buy table salt, which nobody should use anyway, and we can talk about that in a little while, but they add sugar to it because they want you to put more salt on your food and subsequently more salt and sugar.
And sugar's addictive.
And sugar's addictive.
Yeah.
And so is salt.
Well, so is salt. But, I mean, sugar really is, it really hits the reward centers of the brain.
So why, in a society, you know, we're talking about a society that's trying to perpetuate the ability for people to make choices and allow them to be, you know, I heard a talking head the other day, and he was exclaiming and extolling the wonderment of the food companies now going back because dropping a lot of the controls from the federal government, going back and putting old-fashioned tons of sugar and additives and all of these colorings and so forth back in where they were backing out of it over a period of time.
Mm-hmm. We did a lecture back probably 5 or 6 years ago on toxicity and detoxing, one of our Ageless Health programs was. And at that time, I looked at some old research. They were saying we had more than 2,000 additives in our diet. Well, guess what? As of 2017, we now have 5,000 new additives in our diet.
Why?
Because it makes them look prettier, stay longer, taste better, makes people want to go for these foods. And they get the buy to go into the food substances because they check each of these additives on an individual basis. And on an individual basis, if that was the only additive that you had in that product, it probably would be perfectly safe. What they never check is when you've got 10 additives in that product, what's the synergy between all those 10
different
additives?
The interaction between them,
exactly.
The compounded effect.
Exactly. It's the same thing with toxins. When they say that a certain toxin that can be used in the environment is safe, they check one toxin. They don't see what happens when you add that toxin to the 40 other ones that are already there, because it's the energetic between all of these different substances, whether you're talking food additives or poisons in the environment, that's really getting after our bodies and killing us and, you know, causing all the disease processes that we associate with this.
So what do you say to somebody that comes into your practice, into your office, and they say, but I eat well. I eat a lot of vegetables, and I eat these foods, and I eat, you know, a lot of proteins and so forth. You know, I'm not getting these things.
Mm-hmm. I have to ask them how many of those things come out of bags and boxes.
Bags and boxes.
Bags and boxes.
How about conventional fruits and vegetables?
Well, that's a different story, all right? But if you're starting out with just, you know, what are you eating? Is it good for you? When you look at the ingredient packaging, does it say one ingredient or does it say 20 ingredients? If it says one ingredient, it says peas, you're probably okay. Preferably organic, but at least you don't have four or five other additives in there to make the peas greener, rounder, sweeter, or whatever. Then we have to look at the quality, okay? Are you eating grass-fed beef or are you eating corn-fed beef? Everybody says red meat's inflammatory. Well, it is when it's corn-fed because you're getting animals that are fed the wrong food, and you aren't just what you eat. You are what the animal ate.
Or just like a child suckling from its mother.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever mom gets, the animal
gets,
or the baby gets,
that's
and so
right.
forth. You know, you're talking about grass-fed beef, and there's grass-fed beef and there's organic grass-fed beef.
Mm-hmm.
And the difference is sometimes they have a pasture, but they spray the pasture, and there's a lot of junk in the pasture and so forth. They're eating grass, but they're also getting all the stuff that they're enhancing the grass with, so
mm-hmm.
there's a lot of nourishment there, supposedly. But now you've got the things that they spray. Unless you're getting organic, that's my hallucination, unless you're getting organic grass-fed, you're still getting tons of additives and noxious substances that this animal's eating, and subsequently you get them.
Mm-hmm. You can. And the thing, too, is when you say grass-fed, it has to say 100%, because these animals can be raised on a pasture until 6 months before slaughter, and then they put them into feedlots, and they feed them corn and the mash to fatten them up and get them bigger. And in 6 months of changing their diet from grass to corn, you change the entire fat structure of their bodies, and you go from the omega-3s, anti-inflammatory, to the omega-6s, which are inflammatory. And, in fact, those red meats are inflammatory. But, again, the organic pasture, there's still a big, you know, red flag on that, because there's no such thing as a totally organic pasture. You've got farms around you that are not organic. And when the wind blows and when the water runs, you're going to get runoff and exposure to all your fields. The thing here is you just try to make sure that, you know, the best quality you can possibly get. And the one thing you always look for is it grass-fed 100% or is it corn-fed? That's a big thing, because that's a big additive thing.
And particularly with the type of corn that's out there. And
it's genetically modified most
second,
of the time.
Second half of the program, we're going to get into Monsanto and their cousins, and we're going to talk about the GMOs and the impact that they have and the like. But if, you know, you have a piece of meat, you have a piece of fish. But then a patient tells you, yeah, but I'm a vegetarian.
Okay.
That immediately puts up tentacles relative to how they're actually eating.
Uh-huh.
Because so many vegetarians think that chips and donuts and so forth and Cokes and
French
sodas.
Fries and ketchup is good vegetarian food.
Right. Because that's where they've been taught.
Exactly.
You know, they get their wheat from the bread. They get, you know, the fat from their butter. They get, you know.
Oh, no, they don't do butter.
Oh, they don't do butter.
No.
Oh, that, well, oh, that's right.
They do soy margarine.
They get soy margarine. I forgot. I'm
Which
sorry.
Is modified. So, again, you know, whether they're vegetarian, they're vegan, or they're omnivore, the quality of the food makes a huge difference. And we can go on a tangent with vegetarian, but we won't today. But the point is, it doesn't matter what your food choices are, you still have to be very vigilant about the foods that you're using. You can go in and buy all the organic packaged foods, vegetarian or not, and when you start reading the labels, it's appalling the number of things they have put into that in that package. And if you were to make those things from scratch at home, you would have the basic ingredients that you were used to do it. But because it's going into a package, it has to be stored, it has to be frozen or whatever it is, and it's not always the same quality of ingredients you might put in, they add all these extra things. Even the organic products, if you look at the ingredients on them, it's just astounding all the things that they put in there. You know, it's not the same as when you do your own stuff. And I get people need to do things conveniently, but when we're really worried about our health and we've got toxins from the environment that we can't do anything about, and then we put toxins in our body from things that we can make choices about, and spend an extra 20 minutes or 30 minutes putting our meals together, making that enough of a priority for our overall health, it just seems to me common sense that you want to do more of that sort of thing. Do as much as you can to avoid as many toxins as you possibly can. Because there's some you can't. I mean, you have to breathe the air. So you're going to get what's in the air.
You're going to get what you get.
You're going to get what you get.
My guest in studio is Sue Rozell, the head of the Functional Medical Nutrition Program at the Rozell Center for Healing. If you'd like to get a hold of Sue and ask her a question, it's real simple. Go to our website. Go to rozellcare.com. That's rozellecare.com. That's rozellcare.com. And she'll get back to you. But, you know, what better way than, you know, if you really want to know what your diet is all about and if there's things that you need to change, and just call and make an appointment with her and she'll take you. You know, I get to sleep with my nutritionist, which is kind of a very interesting thing, right? It's like a very cool thing. And so subsequently, you know, we won't go there. Life as I know it nutritionally in my house is extraordinary. And she's turned into a great cook, and with a whole lot of influence from my Sicilian mother and grandmother. No. Mm-hmm. But seriously, Sue, you know, what we look at in today's world relative to biochemistry and, you know, is so influenced by everything that goes into our body. It's unfortunate that so many people are being duped, and I'm going to get into that relative to what good foods are and if you eat these things and all the packaged stuff and the dietary plans that are out there, and they're, you know, they're buying their foods and it's being shipped to them and it's not good stuff. We're coming up to a break and we're talking about things that we all need to know about, what fuels your body, what allows you to go to the next level. My guest today, Sue Rozell, and we're getting intimate with nutrition. We'll be right back. Welcome back. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozell Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozell. My guest in studio today, Sue Rozell, the guru when it comes to nutrition at the Roussel Center for Healing.
Hardly, but...
Everybody knows Sue relative to the work that she does. She's extraordinary. She really knows her stuff. Talked a little bit about the quality of food in the first part of the program. We're going to get into all the mechanisms. The second half of the program, we're going to talk about genetically modified foods. Yes, you're listening to us on Saturday at 4 o'clock because we got bumped by the Redskins. So how you figure this out is that if the Redskins are in town and playing at 1 o'clock, Dr. Tom Roussel Live is on Saturdays at 4 p.m. in the afternoon. So mark your schedules. Make sure you're there. Tell everybody about us. And I know there's some of you who probably have never heard the program again or before. So make sure you listen in and continue listening to us because we can help you. So we talked about the quality of foods a little bit. Let's talk about the quality of water. And, you know, a lot of people, we tell them you have to drink water and you have to drink at least half of your body weight in ounces, mm-hmm. you know, to really optimize what you're going to do. If people hit about 80% of that, they're in pretty good shape.
Right.
But the water that we prepare our teas with and our other drinks and so forth and just sit there and grab a glass isn't necessarily the most supportive thing in the world.
No, because unfortunately our tap water around here is loaded with all kinds of fluoride and chlorine to make it so we don't end up with typhus and cholera, which is a good thing. But it's also containing just those two chemicals alone are very toxic chemicals that impact thyroid function and brain function because they're poisons. And even though they're in minute amounts, again, if it was just fluoride or just chlorine or just a little bit of lead or a little bit of mercury, maybe it wouldn't be as impacting. But now when you put all four or five of those together in the water, now you have a toxic drink. And unfortunately, it used to be when you boiled the water, it was to kill the bacteria to make the water safer. If you boil the water now,
you concentrate it.
So you actually make it worse. So we're not dealing with the bugs in the water anymore, which is a good thing. But we're dealing with toxic chemicals in the water, and that is not a good thing.
Well, the interesting thing, there's better ways of handling bacteria, and it's called, ozonation, you know, mm-hmm. and using an ozonator, and it's not that expensive. But here's the thing, we're getting into people who are digging into the pocketbook and making money off of this stuff. Yes, it's a compounded effect, but when you're dealing with chlorides and fluorides, you have gases that come off. They cause destruction to the nervous system.
And the lungs.
And the lungs. And as you said, they have a profound effect on thyroid function, but also heart and kidney.
Sure.
For years, fluorides have been known to cause damage to kidney function.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're sitting there having a cup of tea and you think you're doing a good thing, even green tea, or if you think, you know, you're just going to have a glass of water and you're going to make sure you get your 8 glasses, 10 glasses a day, you're actually, if your water is not filtered and not cleared, and not only that, we're going to talk about acidity, but you're destroying your kidneys and you're destroying your health.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what's a boy to do?
Yeah, and again, you try to see if you can come up with filtration systems that are good. At least a carbon-based filter, and I think that's what most of the pitcher-type filters are. They trap some of the chlorine and the fluoride and some of the other stuff that may be in the water. It's very difficult to make the water pure unless you do reverse osmosis, which is a very expensive system, and it's very cumbersome to have in your house. It's the best because it's taking almost everything possible to take out of the water out of it. But we still run into the problem with medications and drugs. There's no way we know of yet to take those out of our water system.
Not 100%.
So
and
even though
hormones.
Even if you're not taking hormones or antibiotics, you're still getting them in your water supply if you're using, you know, your tap water.
You know, women who are on hormone therapy or on birth control, even guys today with the testosterone creams and so mm-hmm. forth that they're taking, which is a whole subject for a different program, all of this stuff they're using so much of it, the rest of it is excreted or attempted to be excreted by the body. So it goes into our sewage systems. Mm-hmm. And then that water, that runoff, then is refiltered. Mm-hmm. We're in a, what's called a water reclamation area.
Exactly.
Where they take all this runoff and then they try to reprocess it, and you get that. So here's what's happening. You have the chemistry, you have the hormones that aren't completely eliminated, and now you go to drink a cup of tea or some water and you're getting those things
exactly.
back in your body, and now we see increased risk of cancers and particularly breast and prostate, and guys are getting breast cancers
mm-hmm.
now. And depending on the author that you read, 3 to 5% of all breast cancers now are male.
Yeah.
And it's because of this type of thing.
You know, and it's, we can't do anything about what happens when people urinate the chemicals out. But if you notice, they now recommend that you don't throw your outdated drugs down the toilet, which is what they used to do. They used to say, flush your old, you know, outdated medications down the toilet.
Sue, hold that thought. We're coming up to a break. I want to pick that up when we come back. This is a really interesting program, and people are sitting out there saying, oh, my God, really? Don't go away.
Left?
You're listening to Dr. Tom Rizzo Live.
Dr. Tom Rozell Live continues now on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back to Dr. Tom Rozell Live. We are on Saturday at 4 o'clock. Those of you who are normally with us at Sunday at high noon on the Eastern Seaboard, well, it's a little shift. Why? Because the Redskins are playing tomorrow at 1 o'clock, so they kind of do a pregame show and bump us out. But nevertheless, we're still here with you and bringing you the best information that we possibly can to protect you and to help you with yours that you love and particularly your own individuality. In studio, we're talking about the biochemical side of the triangle today. We're talking about those things that you put in your body that you're exposed to and how it affects your physiology, your pathology, your capacity to be optimized at the level of wellness that you really truly deserve. In studio, Sue Rozell. Hi, Sue.
We're back again.
Let's get into this a little bit more. We were talking about the drugs and the chemistries in our environment, a little bit about water and all the things that are in there that affect our body directly. And we were talking about the hormones that people consume and that our normal filtration processes can't get them out.
Right.
In addition to that, what they add to that with the fluorides and the chlorines and other processes. So we've got all of this chemistry going into our body, little bit at a time,
mm-hmm.
compounded exponentially over time. What's the effect? What do you see, you know, from your department that gives you red flags that says, you know, this person is not doing well? They're toxic.
Yeah. I think probably the most common symptom that I will see with almost everybody is fatigue. All right. Fatigue because they don't sleep well. Fatigue because their food isn't supportive of them. Fatigue because they've overloaded their systems with the toxins in the environment, toxins in their food, and everything else. The body is struggling to do what it needs to do. We have an amazing body. It has managed to keep this species on this earth for millennials, in spite of all kinds of possible things that could have devastated us. All right. We continue to constantly change. We have amazing genetic structures that we'll go after and try to help our bodies detoxify the toxins and the poisons out. But the point is, we have to do the best we can to keep that level to a minimum. You know, can you drink cleaner water? Anytime you have an option to do something to modify the junk in your water, you want to do it. Make sure you have your filters in your faucets in your kitchen at least. Refrigerators come with filters. Make sure they get changed regularly. At least they're carbon-based and they're going to pick up some of the stuff. You know, going back to the foods, try to eat the cleanest food you can. All right? You can't completely avoid toxins. It's impossible. Otherwise, we'd all be living in bubbles if we could. But the point is, if we work with the body, we find our energy is better, our sleep is better. We find that our emotional mood stability is better. We don't have the ragey attacks that come when you're trying to drive on the beltway.
You mean people who love the Italian salute as they're coming in front of you?
Yeah.
The ones with tight skin?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Just for clarification.
But we start seeing people, you know, irritable and for no reason or overreacting to things. It's just if you let these toxins build up in the system, the body gets overwhelmed. And ultimately, yes, we do begin to see some very strange syndromes, which they don't have a diagnostic code for, that have docs scratching their heads of what these things are, but they're neurological in nature, or they're muscular in nature, or they're endocrine in nature. And the old techniques to try to deal with them aren't working very well because the etiology or the causative factors are different now.
Let's kind of take that and take it to the next step. You know, we're talking about things that have been added to our foods and cause toxins. We're not eating, you know, grass-fed, natural, organic, you know, beef and poultry and so forth. We run a high risk. We talked about the sprays and the additives on our plants, mm-hmm. the conventional foods versus organic foods. Let's talk a little bit about what Big Brother Monsanto is doing to our food supply.
Well, even before we get to that, there's one other thing, and this is the conundrum. This is probably the biggest reason not to use the packaged foods any more than you have to. The ingredients that are on those labels are the final ingredients that went into the product. The companies do not have to tell you what additives were used to make those final ingredients because they aren't added concentrated into the product. So if you have a MSG sensitivity, say, but you eat something that's packaged that had an ingredient that needed to be using MSG to produce that ingredient, you won't know you're getting MSG until you have your reaction. And then you wonder why you reacted to that food when there's nothing there that you can tell. So it's hidden. And this is the other thing. When you leave the responsibility of the food manufacturing to these companies, you don't know what you're eating. And that includes the GMO stuff that we're about to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, those are important. You know, years ago, there was a book that came out, and it was called Seeds of Deception. And it was quite an interesting expose on what was going on in the genetically modified food groups. Mm-hmm. And Monsanto's declared statement that they wanted to control 100% of the seed used across the globe.
Mm-hmm.
And so subsequently, everybody's saying, well, you know, what's the difference between a GMO food or GMO seed and something else? And they said, there's really no substantial difference. But at the good end, it's going to help produce more and more food for people who have nothing at a cheaper level and so forth.
Except that you can't use the GMO seeds from that harvest to plant the next year's harvest.
Yeah, they're neutral relative to their genetic capacity to expand mm-hmm. themselves. But that's just anecdotal, touching the surface. So, you know, there was an interesting quote, and I'm going to read it. And it says, several animal studies indicate serious health risks associated with genetically modified foods, GM foods, including infertility, immune problems, accelerated aging, faulty insulin regulation, changes in major organs, and gastrointestinal system. This was documented repetitively over and over and over again, and it was actually suppressed and not made available until there was some legal action that was taken. It said, starting in 1996, Americans have been eating genetically modified ingredients in most processed foods. And so the question becomes, why aren't we doing something about it? Why are we allowing people to be duped in such a way and saying that these things don't have an effect? Almost 100% of all soy and corn in the United States that's not labeled organic is GMO modified.
Mm-hmm.
And we know the spinoff of all those things. Soy allergies have exponentially skyrocketed over 50%.
Mm-hmm.
And the rate is getting higher.
The gluten sensitivity, same thing.
Sure. So what are we dealing with?
Well, we're dealing with agricultural, big food processing, deep pockets, heavy lobbying, the organizations that should be doing more to regulate this sort of thing are being funded by the companies that are causing the problem in the first place. And that's where we run into a problem. Our laws are being made based on these companies' results. And you know, if you've ever worked with statistics, you can make them say anything you want. They're using their data that says something is perfectly safe. Well, somehow in the back of my head, I'm not going to trust the test results from the company that stands to make billions of dollars in profit when they tell me that the what their results are. I just somehow think it's slightly skewed.
You know, we're seeing more and more people with allergic reactions to all kinds of things.
Yeah.
And the studies out there are supporting that because of the GMO foods,
mm-hmm.
that we're seeing, and this was studies done that were with laboratory animals, but now they've had enough time frame, they're noticing in humans, that allergy reactions are exponentially much higher because of that, because it causes changes genetically within the human structure,
right.
suppressing immune function, but also causing gastrointestinal problems. And that comes about because the body's immunological reactions from the gut, 85% of our immune system is there,
mm-hmm.
is not stepping up to the plate.
Right. It doesn't know how to step up to the plate because we don't know what these genetic modifications are doing to our own genetics. And that's part of the problem. We're seeing all kinds of crazy things happening to people's health now that they don't have an explanation for. We don't die of bugs like we used to, which is a good thing. But now we've got a lot of other things that come as a result of all this unknown world with the changes in genetics. And we've got a lot of people who are kind of like the canary in the cave. You know, there's always going to be those that are very, very strict, very staunch genetically. They can withstand all kinds of insults and live to be 100. And then you've got the other ones that do everything right. They keep themselves healthy. They try very hard to do all the things that are told to them to do to maximize their health. And they get these horrendous situations and they die young. Okay. We're seeing more canaries in the cave. You know, we're getting to the survival of the fittest again, but now it's more not of environmental survival because of lack of food and poor quality of living standards. It's because we're killing ourselves with poisons.
You know, interestingly, going back, remember for years we used L-tryptophan, you know, to produce with B6 serotonin and
mm-hmm.
Getting people to relax and, you know, get the brain to settle down and so forth. And then going back to 1980s, there was a contaminated brand food supplement with L-tryptophan that killed about 100 Americans,
right.
and caused sickness and disability. Another 5 to 10,000 was the estimate. So, you know, everybody went crazy and they pulled this off. What they didn't release until you start digging into the pile that these sources of L-tryptophan were due to genetic engineering process used in the production. The disease took years to find and was almost overlooked until, you know, there was a lot of public outrage from people like us who said, hey, take a look at this. But it wasn't the tryptophan. It was the fact that these were genetically modified substances and they had an impact in the body.
Yeah, and that happened just about 6 months before the introduction of Prozac 2, by the way.
Ah, so another pocketbook gets padded, right? So instead of using tryptophan to relax the body, decrease anxiety reactions, and upregulate the people who are depressed because it increases serotonin production,
mm-hmm.
We need a drug.
Yeah.
You know, because we can't patent and copyright a natural substance.
That's right. There's no profit margin in tryptophan.
Interestingly. So with your genetic modifications of foods, we'll talk about plants, things that they have to grow.
Mm-hmm.
There's a big problem with that when it comes to handling the weeds and the things that kill the plants.
Right.
What's that problem?
It's called Roundup.
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 Roundup. That's stuff that they made illegal a while back.
No, Roundup is still available. You can buy Roundup at the local, you know, Lowe's and Home Depot. But it's not designed to be used on harvesting our things. And in fact, it's a legal way of harvesting our grain products. Problem with Roundup is it locks up one of the major detoxification systems in the liver, which we need to process out toxins, hormones, medications, and so forth. And if you happen to have somebody who's on a stomach acid blocker, like a Protonic, Prilosec, Zantac, any of those, you very well could cause liver failure in those people.
Liver failure.
Liver failure.
So mm-hmm. add that to the propensity of people that want to take Tylenol like candy, which is known as the number one cause of emergency admission to the hospital for liver failure. Now you've got a body that's beginning to shut down. The truth of it is we're seeing in our practices more and more people with fatty liver disease, more and more people with susceptible problems because the failure of the liver to be able to denature, detoxify, which is its primary job.
Exactly.
And now we're seeing it destroyed.
Right. It was about, I think, probably about 10 years ago that the first case was won on saying that people should be tested for their genetic ability to tolerate drugs before the drug is given to them. And the incident that spurred that on was, in fact, a case where a man was on Prilosec and used Roundup in his garden and wound up with liver failure. So, you know, we got back to the point where we have to watch what's going on with, again, things that we use in our environment, plus the things that we take orally for problems, plus what's in our food, plus what's in our water. We get into a toxic soup.
So we're coming up to a break, so we have to kind of put a bookmark in that. We're going to come back and we're going to wrap this up a little bit. But this is an area of conversation that literally we could talk hours on, and people are being duped, and it's unfortunate. In studio, Sue Rozelle, we're talking about the things that you put in your body, and sometimes you don't know that you're putting them into your body and that are making you very, very sick. We'll be right back after these messages.
105.9 FM and AM 630, WMAL.
Welcome back. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. We're in studio. My guest today, Sue Rozelle. And yeah, we're making you crazy, so you don't know what to eat and where to go and how to fix it. And
can't even be an Eritrean anymore.
I know, because if you breathe, you're going to die. This is not okay. It's, you know, unfortunately, there's a little bit of truth to that statement. But Sue, listen, we've told everybody what's bad about everything that they put in their bodies and what they need to avoid. But
and we need three more hours to tell them what's left.
I know. At the end of the day is what can they do? What would you tell our listeners to go look at?
Well, you know, things that don't have a bag around them is probably a simple food. If it says, if it has an organic sticker on it, if it has a non-GMO certified sticker on it, that's a good starting place because those at least have to fulfill certain requirements in order to earn that sticker. When it says 100% grass-fed, you also want to look for the non-GMO stickers, or you want to look for organic if you can. Or just 100% grass-fed should be accurate. I'm not sure if they've messed with that label yet or not. Anything that looks the way it did coming out of the dirt is what you should eat, okay? You know, if you want a tomato, you buy a tomato, not something in a can. If you want...
Or it's been hybridized, modified,
exactly.
Sprayed upon.
You know, and everybody's busy, and I'm as guilty of it as the next person as far as helping people find gluten-free products. And I have told people, gluten-free products are mostly junk. Unless you're doing the baking of the gluten-free products that are made with nut flours and eggs and fruit, you've got a junk product. So you use it very, very minimally and try to get the organic ones if you can. Because
it's something that's got
stuff.
Corn and tapioca and ground up rice.
Yeah, I'm
and
sorry, but
that.
Potato starch and tapioca and guar gum is not particularly a good substance for us to be eating.
Not unless you want to make gluten.
No. Have a bowl of gluten-free oatmeal. Have a bowl of brown rice. Have a bowl of wild rice. You know, give up a sandwich. Do a lettuce wrap. You know, anything that looks like it comes out of Mother Nature is what you want to try to stay with. Your water, you want to try to get the best quality you can possibly afford to do. Try not to drink and use too much tap water in cooking or in anything that you do other than flushing your toilet, doing your laundry, and taking a bath.
Filter first, minimally.
Exactly. There are now somewhat reasonably priced whole house water filters that take off a lot of the stuff. We've got one at our house, and it makes a huge difference in our skin.
Matter of fact, if you go to RozelleCare.com and you go all the way down to the bottom of the page, we have negotiated a discount with Aquasana.
Aquasana.
So check it out. Go down, and you have no obligation, but it's there for you because we did that for you.
Right. And, you know, if you have a refrigerator that has a water system in it, make sure you keep that filter changed and use that water for cooking as well as just drinking. And then there's some good references out there for those people who like to read about it. Mark Hyman has a new book out. I don't know if it's available online yet or not. It's called What the Heck Should I Eat? It touches on all of this topic right from the get-go. He talks about the you know, craziness with the legal systems allowing toxins and things into our environment. He also talks about what the best foods are and how to eat simply. We're not talking you have to become a gourmet cook. If you can't make dinner in, you know, 30 to 45 minutes, it's too complicated. Make it simple. People didn't spend hours cooking before. They don't need to spend it now.
No, this, I mean, we're busy. You and I come home late at night, and unfortunately, you know, we have to make sure that we prep a little bit.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
We do those things. Unfortunately, we're coming up to that part of the program. If you want to talk to Sue, go to rosellecare.com, send her a note, and we're going to make this another date on the program because we can continue this topic. It's important. It's
one, maybe we'll tell them what they can eat.
Maybe we'll tell you what you can eat. Unfortunately, we're there, and we'll see you next week, same place, same time. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle. Love you all. Bye.